Good evening. I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew 13, we're going to focus in on verses 31 and 32. I've been going through the different kingdom parables, and tonight we'll look at the parable of the mustard seed. But for connection's sake, let's read verses 24 to 34. So Matthew 13, 24 says, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said, "An enemy has done this." Then the servants said to him, "Do you want us to go then and gather them up?" He said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also root the wheat up with them. Let both grow together until the harvest time. And at the harvest, I will say to my reapers, 'First, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Another parable he spoke to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till all was leavened." All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. Without a parable, he did not speak to them. The parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven immediately following this are probably two of the most controversial parables that Jesus taught. There's two different schools of thought, if you will, on these parables. And Many scholars say that it is one interpretation and one is saying it's another. One, it seems like the very surface interpretation is what a lot of them take with it. And not only do their interpretations differ of what they mean, but the interpretations themselves can be more controversial than the others. Many scholars interpret this simply to be the rapid expansion of the church, how it grew so large, and today the church covers the earth and provides shade and comfort to people, and where birds can come and rest, and just as a good positive thing. And this is partly true because the church did go through rapid expansion, particularly after our Lord ascended back up, and when it first started, there was rapid expansion of the church. The only problem is when you take a closer look at a mustard plant, and our brother John Angel spoke on this a few months ago, great description of mustards, how they grow, and they rapidly expand, but not as one plant. They actually rapidly multiply is the more proper way to look at mustard plants, how they grow. And typically they're shrubs. They're not trees. So that's a little bit of a problem with this interpretation. And when you compare other passages of Scripture, as well as the context here in Matthew 13, I believe you come with a little broader interpretation of this. And the other view, this broader interpretation, this other one, is that it compares other passages of Scripture with Scripture and describes how the church has become convoluted and unwieldy, and the church system, I should say, the religious system. The true church is God's people, right? That's what we're talking about. When he says the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about the church, the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what we've pointed out over and over again in these kingdom in the kingdom parables. He's talking about God's kingdom on earth, which is made up of what? People, exactly, people. And people are fallible, aren't they? So this is not God's, the heaven, this is the kingdom of heaven, God's people, and things that happen to the church here on earth. So we see that this has morphed into a man-made system of religion. And we're talking about all of Christendom, right? We're not talking about the assembly movement and the Baptists and the Methodists and versus the Catholics and all that. We're talking about as a whole, if you're looking at the broad picture of the universal church. And we see that as a whole, we see it has a man-made hierarchy to it that was not in the original church. And we see that error has crept into the church, and it has lost its focus. We looked at that when we went through the book of Revelations at the study of the seven letters to the seven churches, how it described what was going to happen to the churches and how it did happen to that. And that how even Satan's messengers dilute the gospel and the true mission of the church. And as I said, there's a lot of scholars that disagree on this. I studied from starting with my Bible here, and it's a Scofield Bible with Dr. Scofield's notes to it, and he adheres more to the view that of what I'm describing here, that it's the world's religious system is this mustard tree, if I call it. Meanwhile, other scholars like John MacArthur says that he says it isn't consistent with the context of the passage to say the bush is becoming a tree is an illustration of how the church will grow wieldy and convoluted. But I disagree with him there, because if you do look at the passage of this, which we will just a minute, I believe it actually supports the view rather than contradicts the view, as I said. What is the parable that we read just before the mustard seed? The wheat and the tares. So is that describing God's kingdom is like the wheat, and the wheat grows tall and there's no problems and it's harvested into the glory of God? No, that's not what the wheat and the tares is. No, the enemy snuck in and sowed tares among the wheat. That's the parable just preceding this parable we're here. And he tells these three parables in succession. So we see that this is the basis of this. And then it's followed with the parable of the leaven. Now again, this is, you can read one commentary, you can read another one and have two different views. You can talk to different believers and have different views. My wife was in a Bible study fellowship group, and they were discussing this, and she was going the next day, and we were talking about the mustard seed and the leaven, and they were going around the room, well, you know, you have this verse here, and I remember her coming home from that. I said, well, how did it go in the Bible study? She said, well, our group leader explained that it's the rapid growth of the church, and that the leaven was the rapid growth of the gospel spreading throughout. And she said, anyone else have anything different? And I explained to them my view. She said, and they looked like I was from another planet. But the interesting thing is, I worked with a lady who was in a different study group, and she really, you know, she just took it for what it surfaced. She didn't really, you know much about it. And she came to work the next day and says, we're studying the most interesting thing you wouldn't believe. It's the parable of the mustard seed. Have you ever heard this? And she goes on to explain this interesting analogy. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the way I've looked at it. So again, it's many different views on it. But I like to support what I believe is the correct interpretation. I believe the Bible is its own best interpreter. Okay, the best interpretation of the Bible comes generally from the Bible. So when we look at this passage, first of all, we examine this passage of chapter 13 as a whole. You see that the chapter is broken up into different sections. First of all, you have the parable of the sower, which is the very first parable. We didn't read that one tonight. We've done that one before. Interesting thing about the parable of the sower, that's the only one in this chapter that doesn't start off with the kingdom of heaven is like. Okay, because you haven't gotten there for. Because this is when the gospel is going forth, right? And to see who, and it's showing who will believe and who will not believe, and what happens to the gospel, the seed that is going out. So it starts off with that parable. Then he has the explanation of the parable of the sower. He has a admonition to those around him why he speaks in parables, and then as he tells his disciples the explanation of the parable of the sower. Then he goes on to tell these three parables in a row, the wheat and the tares, the parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of the leaven, right together. Following this, the disciples asked for the explanation of the wheat and the tares. And the Lord goes on, he gives them the explanation of the wheat and the tares, and then follows that up with three more parables. The parable of the treasure buried in a field, the parable of the pearl of great price, and the parable of the dragnet. And then he gives them a final admonition of treasures new and old, which is a parable in a sense, but it's not compared to the kingdom. So you see the breakdown of this, that some of these parables are just grouped together. And these three in particular, he groups together, which again tells me that we can kind of build on this, right? We can look at these things, and I believe all these parables build. A lot of the parables have one thing in common. There's two things in common you see in not all of them, but a lot of these parables: a field and seed, right? So I think we could probably see that commonality. So when you compare that commonality, we can kind of build upon that. So first of all, let's look at this mustard seed. Well, later on in the book of Matthew, in Matthew 17, Christ compared a mustard seed to faith, right? He says, if you have faith that of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. He says, nothing shall be impossible for you. He gave that illustration to his disciples, specifically. They had come to him with a man that they could not cast a demon out of. They knew this man was demon-possessed, and they tried to cast his demon out of him, and they were unsuccessful. The Lord comes and immediately, of course, heals the man, and the demon's cast out. And so afterward, they're going, well, Lord, why couldn't we do this? He says, because of your lack of faith. He says, you know, if you had a faith that of a mustard seed, not only could you cast this demon out, but, well, he didn't say that, not only could you cast the demon out. He says, if you had faith of a mustard seed, you could see that mountain over there be moved from here to there, and it will. He says, nothing will be impossible to you. I think it's interesting on that one. This is another sermon on its own we probably could do, but after that, he says, but this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. Like this particular, obviously, the Lord knows everything. He knows the different types of demons and the different types. But this type only comes out with prayer and fasting. You're not just going to say a word and this demon's going to pop out, unless you're the Lord himself, right? The Lord God himself. But he tells them that this one takes a little bit more. It takes prayer and fasting for this one to come out. But he was saying the faith of a mustard seed. So it's just a little bit of faith. If you have ever seen a mustard seed, they are kind of small. That's a mustard seed. The yellow things, not the brown. The brown's dirt, okay? But the mustard. I used to have a jar of mustard seed. We'd gotten it with, right when we were first married, we had a rack someone gave us of spices and things. And in it was a jar of mustard seeds because it's a spice. And the only thing I ever remember it for was using it as illustrations. I had a certain message I delivered to some children's groups on different occasions is some of the smallest things in the Bible. And one of them is the mustard seed. So I actually had a jar of mustard seed. I'd give them out to the kids, a jar of mustard seeds to let them see. They're about a millimeter to a millimeter and a half in diameter. So it is, as he says, the smallest of seeds. Okay, it's not the smallest seed, but at that time they say it probably was the smallest seed you could find in Israel during Christ's time. You wouldn't have been able to find, because think about it, like poppy seeds and sesame seeds might be a little bit smaller, but the smallest one they had there was the mustard seed. And when it is grown, it says it becomes the greatest of all herbs and becomes, is the greatest of all herbs, and this passage says becomes a tree. So he says in Matthew 17, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And I do this myself. I think I get two verses here mixed up, because I always say, take this mountain and have it cast into the sea, right? But it says, move hence yonder from this place, and it shall remove. Luke 17 says, and the Lord said, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree or mulberry tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. So it's actually two different illustrations. At two different occasions, he compares faith to that of a mustard seed. That it doesn't take much faith, but you can do really, really, really great things with it. Actually, who does great things with it? The Lord. Because faith is the object of our faith. It's the faith in God. And I think that's the whole key to understanding this, is that it's faith in God. And God does the work, right? It's not what we can do, because otherwise we could say, we have this great faith, and look at what we can do. So again, Christ uses the illustration. And again, these passages are after the kingdom parables. Those are in Matthew 17. This is Matthew 13. This same parable is told in Luke 13. Again, this passage is in Luke 17. So both of these events were found after Christ tells the kingdom parables. And again, mustard seeds are very small, but mustard plants, very interesting. It's a very interesting plant. It does grow very, very rapidly. Mustard plants grow very rapidly. They germinate very quickly. They germinate in a matter of just a few days. There's a weed variety of mustard that's grown here in the United States. It looks similar to the mustard plant, which was the white mustard, apparently, that grew in this area of the world. That mustard weed spreads very rapidly, they say. What's interesting to me about the mustard plant, and there's a picture of one, is that almost practically every part of a mustard plant is beneficial, is useful. That's a very interesting thought concept, isn't it? Every part of a mustard plant is of some use. The seeds, we know, is a spice. You can mix it and take the oil of that and mix it with a few other spices, and you get French's yellow mustard and put it on your hamburger, right? So, and you know, it's that's obviously, when I think of mustard, that's what I think is of Gouda's or Grey Poupon or something like that is when I think of mustard. But also, there are mustard, the leaves. Anyone here eat mustard leaves? I got a few over here tentatively raising their hand. My rabbit does. But apparently they're very good for you, very nutritious. The leaves of the mustard plant, they actually have very large leaves. They can grow very large. Now, do you notice anything about these two? Does that look like a tree? Doesn't look like any tree I've ever seen, right? They're typically smaller. They're shrubs. And again, even the roots and stuff, it's even good for the soil. Some of them, they call it green fertilizer, okay, that you grow mustard, turn it up under the ground, and it's good for the soil. Practically every part of the mustard plant is beneficial. And it even has medicinal qualities. I'm sure y'all have heard of people have mustard patches they would put on people's chests to have colds and things to help loosen up congestion, and it actually does seem to work somewhat. Is a very, very useful plant. And I believe that the mustard seed is showing how the early church did grow at an astounding rate and became a relevant force. In just a matter of a few years, worldwide, Christianity was a relevant force because of the rapid growth of the church. But somewhere along the line, this plant becomes something it wasn't supposed to be. It no longer is a shrub or a small plant. It becomes a tree. And when I was just Googling mustard plant, and I found a picture of a mustard tree. Looks like I want one of those in my yard, right? Doesn't look like a very pretty tree, does it? Looks kind of, just mixed up, every going different way. And it doesn't really look like a tree as we would think about it, right? And this is what happens when a mustard tree, mustard, goes beyond its intended use, isn't it? It becomes something that it's really not supposed to be. It's typically a shrub, and even when they grow tall, they're not really trees. Are more wispy and thin. And when I think of the interpretation of here, when we look at the passage, I think it's very poignant to look at verse 31 and 32 here. Verse 32, it says, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. In the King James, it says, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. There's a couple of ways we can look at that. If it is the word bud in there, I remember attending some customer service training back when I was a phone support technician. You know, how to deal. We call it touchy-feely class, just because how to relate to customers better and how to make good news sound, bad news sound better, and how to handle complaints. And one of the things they taught us, or tried to teach us, is that if you have to contrast two things, and the second one may not be as pleasant, that a lot of times the word but can have a negative connotation to it. And so instead, sometimes use a different conjunction. Use the word and instead. So, I tried it, and I don't know if it worked or not, but you still had to tell them the bad news one way or the other. So when I see the word but here, sometimes I get that negative connotation. But when it's grown, okay, it's greatest. It's the smallest of seed, but when it becomes the greatest of herb. But this one says becomes a tree. So it's almost like, okay, it's the greatest of all the herbs, and it's a great plant, it's good for everything, and then it becomes a tree. Okay, so it's like a after the fact, okay? It's a mustard plant, it's doing its purpose, and now it's a tree. So if we remember what our brother John had taught us, that mustard plants, they grow to a certain size, their seeds flower, it flowers up, and the seeds are spread through the wind because it's a very small seed, and then what does it do? Other plants are planted, right? And very quickly, these small plants could take over a very large area, couldn't they? They grow, you know, intentionally grow these things today, but a mustard plants can rapidly replenish, repeat, and reproduce themselves in a very short amount of time because they're fast growth rate. And I think sometimes that's the way God really intended the church to grow, isn't it? Through you and me, one-on-one. We come together as a collective body to worship and to fellowship and to teach each other, and then we go out in the world like seeds and tell others, right? And to reach other people with the gospel. That's the way God intended it to be. That's the way He wanted His church. We come together just to break bread and to teach each other and fellowship. The coming together isn't supposed to be this massive organization that it has become, again, in general, universally. And so when we compare this, we also see it says the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Doesn't that sound like a pleasant thing? Doesn't that sound wonderful? Oh, the little birds go sit in the branch. Let's look up just a little bit, again, using the Bible as its own interpreter. Let's look back here, first of all, at verse 4. It says, "And he sowed some seeds, and they fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them." Skip down to verse 19. This is when Christ is explaining the parable of the sower. And he says, "And when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is he who has received the seed by the wayside." Again, the ones by the wayside where the birds snatched it away. Not so pleasant of an experience there, is it? It's God, that Satan sends his messengers to snatch away the seed. So we see these birds are now, well, they're coming home to roost in the church, inside the kingdom of heaven on earth. And we see that. Now let's compare this with the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. We'll start at verse 1. "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth, and have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice come from heaven saying, Come out from her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities, and render her just as he rendered you, and repay her double for according to her works in the cup she has mixed with double for her. This is talking about, this is Babylon the Great. And many, some scholars believe that then this is the world's religious system, not the true church, but the religious system of this world. Many compare it to specifically the Roman Catholic Church, but I think the broader interpretation is, while that is a system, right? It takes away from faith and puts it in works and into a system. But I think that's not the only organized religion in this world that does that, right? In the name of Christianity, you have several very similar denominations or churches in that sense that have become a hierarchy and a convoluted system, but none is bigger than the Roman Catholic Church in that regard. And the one that they've always compared that to Babylon, and it says is fallen, and the idea is that it's fallen like a tree is fallen. And it says it has become a place in verse 2 for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. So again, we see that same analogy. It's like a tree that has fallen, and these unclean birds are in this tree, this religious system that God, in judgment at the end of the age, will cut down. And again, that's what some tie these two passages together, of this monstrosity of a tree that was beyond what God intended for the church to be. This world, what it has taken with that. And this is what's going to happen at the end of the age to this religious system. So when we look at this, again, this is one broad, very broad interpretation. Again, looking at different passages of Scripture to try to come to this, what do we learn from this? Well, the first thing to consider is the faith of the mustard seed, okay, that God works through faith. And if we have the faith, as it says, of a mustard seed, God will do great things in and through us, whether it's us individually or us collectively as an assembly of believers. That's where the world's religious system has gone wrong, isn't it? It's you have to come through the church. You have to come through a person. And they're the ones getting glory from it, and they're the ones receiving honor. And it's not what God intended. So we need to stick to the Word. I mean, what is our individual mandate? What are we commanded to do? We are told to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. This is what our mandate is, right? And when we try to build man-made organizations that focus on something other than that, I think is sometimes we can possibly overstep it. And we need just to focus to be mustard plant. The church was spread in small groups, preaching the word, spreading seed, and growing rapidly, not through creating large hierarchies and this priest and then this bishop and then this levels of organization like you would build an organization, a company. Not through that. That's not how God has spread. His plan is simple. It's not complicated. We're the ones that make it complicated. That's what we seek to do here at this assembly, don't we? We seek to simply meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come together on the first day of the week to break bread and remember Him who died for us. That's why we come together. We try not to take titles. Sometimes in our effort not to take titles, we end up with titles. But, you know, it's the we seek not to have any, meet under any other name but our Lord and Savior. That's, you know, simply not complicating things that God didn't make complicated. And as we look next time, I get the opportunity to, we'll look at the parable of the leaven. And leaven is a very similar concept, but it's a different. One is that the rapid expansion of the church, the religious system in and of itself. The other one is talking about how error can creep into the church, little different concept for that, but that is for another time. Let's close
in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we had to look at your word. We thank you for the parable of the mustard seed. Father, we thank you that you honor faith, faith and trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And doesn't really take a lot of faith, because you know we are feeble, we are frail, we are but human, and that we are weak in our faith, and that you didn't, Father, we just thank you that you didn't make it some great task we had to do. We just had to simply believe that Jesus died for us and make him Lord of our life. And Father, we just thank you for the work that was done for us by your Son, Jesus Christ. And may we keep that concept that if we believe in you, you will do marvelous things for your own honor and glory. May we seek to please you in all that we say and do. We pray that you'll bless us as we part here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.